The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. For us Marylanders, yesterday was Maryland Day, marking the anniversary of the arrival of the first English settlers in the year 1634. For us Christians, yesterday was the Feast of the Annunciation to the Blessed Virgin Mary, occurring exactly 9 months before Christmas. This festival marks what St. Paul calls the fullness of time, the time when God became man, when the Father's eternal Son and Word became flesh, when he took on himself in Mary's womb the humanity that is yours and mine, so that he might in our stead live a life of perfect obedience to the Heavenly Father's will, and then suffer death for all our transgressions of that will. Holy Scripture teaches us that the Lord Jesus is the second Adam who came into this world to undo the damage done by the first Adam. A truth that is so beautifully expressed in one of John Henry Newman's hymns, O loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. O wisest love, that flesh and blood which did in Adam fail should strive afresh against the foe, should strive and should prevail. This evening we consider the fifth and the sixth commandments, which, like all the commandments, are no arbitrary code, but grounded in the Creator's will. In the beginning, God created human life, and in the beginning, God created human beings, male and female, joining our first parents together in marriage. And in giving the fifth and the sixth commandments, God protects human life, God protects marriage. God protects every human life because nobody exists by chance. Nobody exists by chance. Everyone who lives has in fact been called out of nothingness into being by the will of the Creator. And so every human life is precious to Him. And since that is so, no human being is a disposable commodity, though as one looks at the world today, one might well think that many human beings are disposable commodities at the will of brutal people. In his Sermon on the Mount, Christ shows how this fifth commandment, you shall not murder, forbids not only the violent deed, but also hatred in the heart. We remember how the Catechism explains this fifth commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. And so we see that we sin against this commandment not only by what we do, but also by what we fail to do. When the hungry are deprived of food and the thirsty of drink, when the homeless are deprived of shelter, and when the sick and the poor are deprived of the help they need in their sickness and in their poverty. In his entire ministry, our Savior came to the aid of those who suffer want. He provided food for the hungry thousands in the wilderness. He healed the sick. And when, during his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant Malchus, Jesus healed Malchus and told Peter to put his sword back in his sheath. And in suffering the cruel blows and spitting, the scourging and the crown of thorns, the nails and the spear, Jesus suffered for all our failure to help others in their bodily need. He suffered for all those sins so that our sinful bodies might be made clean by his body and finally be perfectly restored in the resurrection. The fifth commandment protects human life. The sixth protects marriage, which was created by God in the beginning when he created human beings, male and female, and joined our first parents together in marriage. The Lord Jesus himself affirmed this creative will of God. And the Apostle Paul teaches that marriage points to the union of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and his bride, the church. And this imagery of God's love for us is throughout Holy Scripture portrayed with this imagery of the bridegroom and bride. From heaven Christ came to seek her, his holy bride. When a young man wants to attract a young woman and make her his wife, that young man tries to present himself in the best possible way, in his looks, in his charm, in everything that he does. But Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, woos his bride as he suffers the blows, the insults, the cruelty, indeed the crucifixion. He is a bridegroom covered with wounds and with blood. Thus the heavenly bridegroom claims us to be his bride and cleanses us by his blood. And as St. Paul writes, by the washing of water with the word in holy baptism. Yes, the marriage of man and woman is an image of the union of Christ, the bridegroom, and his bride, the church. But in this broken world, marriage too is broken. And our Lord not only condemned the sins of adultery and fornication, he also taught that lustful thoughts are no less sinful than lustful deeds. And so none of us is in any position to cast stones at fellow sinners. On the one hand, we can only deplore the present widespread loss of any sense of shame concerning sins against the Sixth Commandment. Some sins against the Sixth Commandment, which were within the living memory of some of us, all but unmentionable. And so on the one hand, we can only deplore all that, but on the other hand, we must avoid the temptation to look with contempt and disdain on people who are caught up in all this. We need to keep firmly in mind that we, no less than them, are in so many ways broken. For every last one of us happens to be what John Henry Newman called the crooked timber of humanity. The crooked timber of humanity. And so, as those who follow our compassionate Lord, we need to look upon others with compassion, with a genuine love which desires and prays for their healing and for ours, and to take to heart the Apostles' words, "Look to yourselves, lest you too be tempted," remembering that the Lord Jesus himself was, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews wrote, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we can pray in the words of Saint Ephraim the Syrian, O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, faint-heartedness, lust for power, and idle talk, but give rather the spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, help me to see my own faults and not judge others, for you are blessed forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the next hymn.